The Lord be with you. I once knew a man that I'm going to call Zeb. Zeb, short for Zebedee, who in our gospel lesson today is the father of James and John, who are partners with Simon Peter. I'm going to call this guy Zeb because I am interested in the comparing Zeb and Peter. You see, in our gospel lesson, Zeb and Peter appear on a certain level to be completely different. Peter is a poor fisherman. He has a boat, he has his nets, he has his will to work, but he doesn't have any fish. Zeb, on the other hand, was a wealthy stockbroker. He had a collection of fancy cars, mostly Ferraris and Lamborghinis. He had a beautiful house with a large piece of property attached to it. It had a pool and a hot tub. And he loved rich food and fine wine, and he drank lots of it. Now, on this superficial level, Zeb and Peter, they seem very different. But these surface differences hide a much deeper similarity. You see, both Zeb and Peter used everything they had to serve Jesus. That collection of classic cars that Zeb had, he would loan them out to car shows whose tickets went to charity. That big house and large estate that he had, he'd use it to throw massive fundraisers. He'd invite everyone he knew, and he'd bring in his favorite band. He'd serve his favorite food. His guests would lounge in his hot tub, and they'd stuff their faces and empty their wallets for charity. But Zeb's gift wasn't just at getting other people to give away money. He gave away his own. He was notoriously generous. He once went to one of his favorite bars and heard the owner say that they were having a tough month. And so right then and there, Zeb pulled out his checkbook and he wrote a check for $10,000 to that bar owner to be repaid at zero interest in drinks. The man also loved going to Mexico. And once he was going along and there was an outdoor talent show for elementary school children who were part of a Catholic school. And Zeb was so touched by these young children's performance and this display of community support for him that he opened his wallet then and there, walked up to one of the nuns, and handed her all the cash that he had. Now you have to imagine this poor nun, right? She's in the middle of a public space doing an event for her children, and this random gringo she's never met before walks up to her and shoves a fistful of American $100 bills in her face. But Zeb's philosophy was give first and ask questions later. And we see this in Peter, Simon Peter, in our gospel lesson. Jesus needs a place to preach to the crowds on the shore. And while Peter may not have any fancy cars, he has a boat. And so when Jesus asks if he can borrow the boat to preach to the crowd, Peter gives his boat first and asks questions later. Unlike Zeb, Peter doesn't have a big house, but he has a small one. And in the immediately preceding chapter in Luke's gospel, we see that Peter welcomes Jesus to stay in his house. And then when Jesus starts healing all the people from the neighborhood, that little house becomes an impromptu field hospital. Peter doesn't have wealth like Zeb did, but he had a will to work. And after Jesus finishes preaching, he says to Peter, "Row out and put out into the deep water. And then let down your nets." And you have to keep in mind, we hear that Peter has just finished washing his nets. He's wrapping up after a long and disappointing night of not having caught anything. And now it's the middle of the day. He's getting ready to turn in. And Jesus says, "No, I want you to keep trying." Peter doesn't understand why Jesus says this. But he says, "Master, we have worked all night and have caught nothing, but if you say so, I will let down the nets." Peter gives everything that he has to serve Jesus. He gives his exhaustion, and he gives his confusion. And Peter is rewarded for it. Having given Jesus everything that Jesus asked for, Jesus rewards Peter by giving him everything that a fisherman could ask for. Jesus gives Peter a catch of fish that fills two whole boats, so much so that they start to sink. In this moment, Peter has what he has been working all night for. Peter has what he has worked his whole life for. He has more fish than he knows what to do with. But in this moment of having reached what he has worked his whole life for, Peter's response is not joy, it is fear. And knowing Zeb has helped me understand why. You see, underneath all of Zeb's wealth and success was a man who was racked by insecurity. Zeb felt his whole life wondering if people ever really liked him, and if he was ever good enough. Zeb drove fancy cars so that no one would ever think to ask, "Hey Zeb, didn't you flunk out of college?" Zeb made sure that every dinner party he hosted had interesting food so that the topic of conversation would be on the meal and not on him. And at all those parties that he threw, Zeb would go around slapping people on the back, cracking jokes, and pouring drinks. But after the party, he would retreat exhausted to his room, tired from the performance of joviality that he had put on, and then he would ask his wife to go over every single interaction that she saw him do to make sure that he had done well, that people had really liked him. You see, Zeb was so insecure about who he was that he hid himself behind all these status symbols. He even hid from himself behind alcohol. What Peter is afraid of in this moment is that Peter can't hide. Peter can't hide from Jesus, and he knows it because Jesus has just seen into the depths of this lake. Jesus has seen beneath the surface to what dwells there underneath. And so Peter knows that Jesus can see under his surface, that Jesus can see into the depths of Peter's soul and see the sin and the flaws that dwell there within. And Peter is convinced that Jesus isn't going to like what he sees. And so Peter responds, "Lord, go away from me, for I am a sinful man." You see, Jesus, Peter is convinced that he would rather push Jesus away now than feel the pain of Peter's own flaws and sins pushing Jesus' love away later. And indeed, Jesus sees what is in the depths of Peter's heart. Jesus sees that insecurity and those flaws and that sin. But Jesus isn't driven away by Peter's flaws. Instead, Jesus sees that Peter's flaws can drive him to share Christ's love. Peter's confession of imperfection is, in fact, the perfect credential to be a messenger of God's love, because it means that Peter knows how important receiving God's love is, and it means that Peter will know what it means to convince someone of that love. And so Jesus offers Peter a change of careers. He says to Peter, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching people." Now, what does that mean, to catch people? So this is a question that's bothered me, and I know it's bothered a lot of you. So I went and I looked up the Greek, the original language that the gospel lesson is written in. And it turns out there are different words in this passage for the catching of fish and the catching of people. In verse 6, when it says that Peter in his net caught a bunch of fish, the Greek word is sunkleo, and I have it right here, sunkleo. And if you look up in a dictionary what that word means, it means to shut. It means to close, like you have nets and you're closing them around fish. You're cooping them up. But in chapter 5, verse 10, there we go, the Greek word when Jesus says you will be catching people is zogreo, which means to take alive. It means even to preserve alive or even to restore to life. Jesus is saying to Peter, you are going to be catching fish, but not to shut them up, or not to shut up fish. You are going to be lifting up people. Jesus says to Peter, you are going to be catching people, but not to take their life like you did with fish, but to preserve their life, to restore their life. And this is what Zeb did with his life. You see, Zeb's greatest gift was not his wealth. It was not his taste in cars or food. It wasn't even his hospitality. Zeb's greatest gift was catching people in his love and encouraging them in their life. Zeb encouraged his wife to go back to college and finish the degree that he never did. Zeb would encourage the young people in the charitable organizations that he was a part of, mentoring them that they might see the gifts they had to succeed in whatever career they chose. Zeb once spent 30 days in rehab trying to get his drinking under control. If you hadn't noticed, that's been a theme, yeah? So he went to rehab for 30 days. And at the end of those 30 days, the other inpatients, they came to him and they said, will you please keep in touch? Will you mentor us? Because it turns out Zeb had spent those 30 days telling everyone in that rehab program how he was a college dropout and an alcoholic, and yet he had managed to have a good job and a loving family. And then he set about trying to convince every other person in rehab that if he could do it, so could they. His wife told me that when he came out of rehab, that was the closest he ever came to truly believing that people would like him for who he was. Because for those 30 days, he didn't have his fancy cars. He couldn't throw any lavish parties. He didn't even have alcohol to hide behind. He just had himself with all his flaws, and people still wanted to be his friend. And then COVID hit. It was about 2 years ago, right at the start of the pandemic, when Zeb heard that the lockdowns were coming. He didn't want to be stuck at home for 2 weeks, and so he kissed his wife and his kid, and he said, hey, I'm going to see you in a couple weeks, because this probably isn't going to last very long, and he caught a plane to Mexico. And a few days after that, he caught COVID. And as you might have guessed, his lifestyle meant that he had a lot of underlying conditions. Zeb died hundreds of miles from his family. But when news of his death got out, a wave of gratitude came pouring in. So many people talked about how after the parties were over and everyone had gone home, Zeb had a knack for finding people when they were at their lowest, for reaching out to them with a gentle word and catching them in a fierce hug and raising them up to new life. There was a man who's the mayor of Windsor, California, a man who'd never met Zeb's wife. After Zeb died, he reached out to the widow and said that he attributed all his success in life to Zeb, to Zeb's mentorship, and to the way in which Zeb helped this man believe in himself. Zeb used every single gift he had to serve Jesus, including the gift of his own insecurity. You see, Zeb spent his whole life believing and feeling that he wasn't good enough, and so he dedicated his whole life to making sure that no one else would feel that same way. And I can't help but wonder if Zeb knew before he died that his greatest gift was not any of the things that he owned, but simply who he was. when Jesus died, Peter was at his worst. Right? Peter had just denied Jesus three times before Jesus was crucified, as if Peter was trying to prove that all the things he believed about himself were true, that Jesus should have pushed this guy away before Peter had a chance to betray him. But Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 15 that when Jesus rises from the dead, of all the people that Jesus appears to, the first person that Jesus makes a point of saying hi to is Peter. Now, in our translation, it calls him Cephas, but that's just the Aramaic name for Peter. And also, some of you may be remembering from the Gospels, wait, didn't Jesus first appear to Mary Magdalene? And yes, that is true, but of all the men, Peter's the first. And Paul wants to focus on Peter, because you see, like Peter, Paul is also a sinner. We hear in this same passage from 1 Corinthians, Paul say how he too lived a life of sin. We hear him say that he once persecuted the church. And in fact, the first thing we hear about Paul in the Bible is that he was an accessory to murder of a follower of Jesus. But Paul writes here that by God's grace, Jesus appeared to him after the resurrection and transformed Paul's life. He says, by God's grace, I am what I am, with all his faults and all his sins. But by God's grace, he says, God's grace has not been in vain, for he works harder than all the other disciples now to share Christ's gospel. You see, Paul has known in his own life that his sins could not drive away Christ's love, and so now he spends his life being driven by those sins to share Christ's love with others. Paul writes to the Corinthians that Christ died for our sins. And look, the sins that we commit in this life, we have to deal with the consequences of them in this life. It takes the other apostles 14 years before they finally start trusting Paul, right? This is a guy who used to kill Christians, and then he shows up one day and, hey, I want to be one of you guys now. And they say, oh, let's wait a few years and see how that pans out. But from God's perspective, when Christ dies, our sins die with him. And so the resurrection is good news first and foremost for the sinner. And so Paul says it is first and foremost to Peter, the sinner, that Jesus appears after the resurrection, proof that his sins couldn't stop Jesus' love. The resurrection appearance to Peter is proof of what Jesus promised when he first called Peter. Your faults can't drive away Christ's love, but your faults can drive you to share Christ's love. Peter saw the proof of this in the resurrection. And I pray that in the resurrection, Zeb will see the proof of it as well. But may we in this life be caught up in that life-giving promise that our sins cannot drive away Christ's love, but they can drive us to share it. And may we, like Zeb and like Peter, use everything that we have to serve Jesus, even our flaws. Amen.